Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Daily's dirty.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Daily is dirty, by the way. John Daly is a dirty man. Very
we
dirty.
We just don't
man.
Give a shit.
Yeah, that's right. That guy right there. We've had us a hell of a time now. There's no doubt about it. A couple of them, and I can confirm he is dirty. We are The Drive, Sports Radio 610. You heard the big voice, man. Come on out. We are at Buffalo Wild Wings in Katy off Park Row. Come on through. Got a little noisemaker here. They're getting good and revved up now. The cold, the beer is cold. The bar air is starting to fill up, and bartenders are on their toes now. Look out. Come on out and join us. We'll have a good time. We got a couple of $50 Academy Sports and Outdoors gift cards to give away. Not 25. These are $50. We got two of them. And then we've got, what do we got over there in the autographed memorabilia, the items over there?
We got an autographed football from Pro Bowler Nico Collins.
There you go.
And we got an autographed game-size helmet from Christian Harris, linebacker who they're going to need this week for you right here. You
yeah.
Run that up.
There you go. Come on through. Got a little something. Got to just put your name in the raffle box, and we'll be giving that away over the next couple of hours here. Buffalo Wild Wings, Bud Light, big shout-out to those two for making this happen. The Bud Light gals are here making their rounds. Big shout-out for making this whole year happen of Thirsty Thursdays and today's Football Friday. And, again, big shout-out to Academy Sports and Outdoors for being so supportive as well. So come on out. Enjoy the good times. Get ready for the Texans game on Saturday, but the Texas game tonight. Got monster college football playoff action tonight. Ohio State Buckeyes versus the Texas Longhorns. I believe this is the national championship game.
Mm.
I know Pendergast ain't going to like that. I know my Notre Dame fans ain't going to like that. I believe tonight is the two best football teams, and I probably should have said this before because I believe it with Penn State as well. I think these are the two best football teams in college football, two most complete. You're talking about two really good defenses, two quarterbacks that are performing well or have the ability to perform well. You're talking about an offense that both offenses have running backs that can run it and run up 100-plus yards. Hell, both teams have two running backs that can do that. Both teams have big-time targets at the wide receiver position. They got threats at the tight end position. I think these are actually the two best football teams left in the playoffs. I think the playoff is the national championship game is actually tonight. We'll see what Notre Dame does. I'm glad, by the way, Notre Dame made it and Penn State didn't because I was afraid of an all Big Ten national championship game. And I don't know that I'd be able to stomach that, to be honest with you. So, big game tonight for Texas. Any way you slice it, but we got to chop up this Texans game on Saturday. And earlier in the week, this created a good couple of conversations, Ron. I want to revisit it and see if there's anything you guys would add. The absolute gotta haves for the Houston Texans this weekend to get a W. I think offensively, I'm asking them to do some simple, stupid, doesn't take a whole hell of a lot of talent type things, right? One, Bobby Slowick, in critical moments of the game, and I say critical moments, I mean third and shorts, I mean fourth and shorts, I mean red zone, goal line, any time in the game. Obviously, as the second half, the first half, you get into a two-minute drive type situation. In the fourth quarter, if you're lucky enough to potentially have a four-minute drive where you're trying to chew clock, those types of situational football, Bobby Slowick cannot call any run whatsoever where Dalton Schultz is at the point of attack play side. Just can't happen. Absolutely cannot happen. Deontay Johnson, receiver that was picked up off the streets, could be a blessing in disguise, the fact that the Texans were able to claim him. He's got to be full go. Not saying he has to have a huge night, but he's got to be full go and be an option for C.J. Stroud. Nico Collins needs help. You're not going to get it from Dalton Schultz. You're not going to get it from John Mechie. You're not going to get it from Xavier Hutchinson. No disrespect to those guys. We've just seen a large sample size. This is playoff football.
Certainly not likely to get it.
You're not likely. You got to have somebody that can that's special, somebody that's proven. And I think Deontay Johnson is that. But he's got to be available a few times Saturday to counterpunch off of hopefully a decent run game and Nico Collins. That's number two. Number three, Laremy Tunsil and his pre-snap penalties, they have to be a thing of the past. Laremy Tunsil cannot kill two drives with pre-snap penalties in the first half like he did last week against the Tennessee Titans. I don't know if they killed the drive, but they damn sure put us behind the chain. Those are hard to overcome in playoff football. Last but not least, on the offensive side of the football, C.J. Stroud has to eliminate the bonehead interception and the bonehead misses. The unacceptable interceptions, the unacceptable misses. If it's just in the course of play, ball's tipped, it's picked. If you throw a ball and you maybe try to force it into some coverage to Nico and it gets picked, that is I'm fine with. But when a receiver's running wide open and all you got to do is throw in the ocean and you underthrow it and it ends up being an interception, we've got to eliminate that from the game. The game, not this week, but 2 weeks ago against Baltimore, there was four misses in a two-drive span that were absolutely crippling for the Texans offense. Like, that has to be out of this offense if you're going to win a playoff game against this kind of opponent. This is a solid opponent you're going to have to go out and beat. Now, very beatable, but you got to go out and beat them. I don't think this is a team that's going to give you three, four, or five turnovers and just give the ball game to you. So that's got to happen. We talked about those last week. Ryan, you got anything on the offensive side of the football that you want to add to that?
Actually,
mix?
Let me go at the end because my must-have, got to have, okay, is kind of an overall.
Okay, I'll give you that. I want to jump over to the defensive side of the football. With Jeff Okudah being healthy, the Texans are going to be in a position where they can either slide Kamari Lassiter into the slot and help deal with Ladd McConkey, who is their number one weapon offensively and has been really, really good. Or they can take their all-pro corner, Pro Bowl corner, Derek Stingley, and play the match game if they want to try to eliminate him from the game altogether. So they've got options. The only way you have the Lassiter option is with Jeff Okudah being healthy. And here's the deal. With Jeff Okudah in the game, the one thing he's got to do, Ron, is he's got to keep everything in front of him. He cannot let Quentin Johnston, because he's a deep threat. He's a big, he's throw it up and I'll go get it type of wide receiver. You cannot let him or DJ Chark, to be honest with you, another speed guy. You cannot become a liability at the corner position. And Jeff Okudah is the one that has the most potential. The other two are nails. Kamari Lassiter and Derek Stingley are nails. Jeff Okudah is the one that has to keep everything in front of him and keep it together.
Because he can allow D'Amico to use those other guys in different ways, right? If Jeff Okudah gives you some level of confidence, then hell, if you want to put, you know, Lassiter in the slot or you want to put Stingley in the slot, it allows you to do that, right?
Yeah.
You know, at this point, man, I don't know that he feels confident maybe with other guys to do that. If he had to do that with Ross or any of the other corners. So, yeah, Okudah's a big deal if they could at least trust that he can be out there.
Just keep everything in front of you, baby. Don't let him catch a ball. Look, another thing, when you keep it in front of you, be tight enough to make the tackle. Don't let him wheel back inside and run another 40 yards. Jeff Okudah just has to be solid. This is where it gets hairy for me, but I think this is the kind of game it is, boys. I think offensively, you just got to keep the train on the tracks. I think defensively, you got to be great. And I can't say that this defense has to be great and then not expect what I think is the three best players to do great things. And Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, I'm going to put this number on it. You tell me if you think it's high enough, Ron. I think Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter have to have three-plus sacks. They have to have three or more sacks.
Hey, I'm with you. I mean, like I said, I don't have any fear of anybody – really, to me, even Ladd, who's good, I think they just go to him a lot. I don't have any fear of their guys.
Yeah.
But a big part of it is he's going to hold the football, and he's going to give you opportunities.
Yes.
You heard Dino Vasso, who was on with us, the secondary coach for the Texans. He's going to hold the football, and give you opportunities.
Yep.
And you got to make him pay for holding the football.
That's right. So Will and Daniil have to be special. Here's the other thing. If you don't get him on the ground, he's averaging over 4.5 yards a carry. That don't happen if he doesn't scramble for big-time yardage. If you don't get him on the ground, we got problems. So Will and Daniil have to be big-time. I'm going three-plus sacks. Tyler, I don't know what the over-under is in the game for both of those guys. I bet it's half a sack. But they both have to have at least one, and one of them needs to have two in order to get this one done. And Derek Stingley, again, the all-pro corner, the Pro Bowl corner. Ron, not only is there a chance – that we could, I don't think this is going to be the game plan from jump, but it wouldn't surprise me if Ladd McConkey doesn't get loose in the first half, because he's been really good in first quarters, really, of late. I don't know what the stat that the season will tell you, but of late he's been really good first quarter, getting a good chunk play every damn quarter to start every game. But I don't think the plan is for Derek Stingley to shadow him from jump. I don't know that he deserves that kind of respect. But if he gets loose a little bit in that first half, it might damn sure be the halftime adjustment. Either way it goes, I think Derek Stingley Jr. has to get a turnover.
Yeah,
they got to turn him over, man.
They love to go to him. I definitely agree with that. See the last two things that you said kind of feeds into my overall as you're putting it, gotta have. And I just kind of look back at that Baltimore game, Clint.
Mm-hmm.
See if you follow where I'm going. C.J. Stroud, 17 of 31, 185 yards and an interception. No touchdowns. Joe Mixon, 9 rushes for 26 yards, no touchdowns. He also had 2 catches for 13 yards. Nico Collins, 3 catches for 59 yards, no touchdowns. He only got 3 catches in the game. Coming down here, who'd you say? Daniil Hunter against the Ravens, 1 tackle.
Yep.
Will Anderson, 2 tackles and a half a sack that they later gave to him. Derek Stingley in the game against the Ravens, 1 tackle. Those are your dudes.
Yeah.
Those are your guys. Those are your guys. Those are your – some of them are pro bowlers. Some of them are alternates.
Moves.
Yeah, those
whether
are,
you drafted them or signed them free agency or traded for them, those are your win now moves.
Those are the dudes where you say, hey, man, we need to be special. We need these guys to step up where, hey, man, you know, sometimes you call the right play or you call the wrong play. We need somebody to go and make a play. Those are their make-a-play guys.
Yeah.
And none of them had huge impacts in the game against the Ravens at all. They cannot go 0-for in this game. Derek Stingley, Will Anderson, Christian Harris, I'll throw you in there. Aziz, maybe, I'll throw you in there. Daniil Hunter and Nico and CJ and Mixon. Those guys have to be major impacts in this game.
Yep.
And in the Baltimore game, nobody was.
That's what teams that win in the playoffs do, Ron. They're big-time players, make big-time plays, at least on one side of the ball or the other. They can't all go dead, to your point that you rattled off against Baltimore, where none of them were making plays.
Because last year against the Browns, CJ went off.
Derek Nico Stingley went shadowed.
Off. Derek Stingley shadowed. It took out Amari Cooper. Huge impact in the game.
Yep, yep.
They're dudes made plays.
That's right. That's right. So there's just some of the gotta have it right there. Jeff Okuda's got to keep everything in front of him and not allow big plays. Will and Daniil, I'm going with a combined 3-plus sacks. Stingley has to have an interception. Those are the defenses. Offensive, Schultz, no play calls where Schultz is lead blocking on run plays. I've seen enough inside or out. Bobby's got to take that out of the playbook. Deontay Johnson's got to be full go. 0 pre-snap penalties for Laremy Tunsil. Can't keep starting behind the chains because of your best player, your highest paid player. And 0 Stroud interception misses, and I'm not talking about general ones, I'm talking about the unacceptable ones, uncharacteristic ones that we've seen from C.J. Stroud. I'm Clint Stern alongside Ron Ugly. T. Mill is back at the house behind the glass, and we are at Buffalo Wild Wings out in Katy off Park Row. Come on out and hang with us. We got to give a quick shout-out, y'all. Derek Stingley Jr., not only is he a Pro Bowler, I mentioned it there in the last conversation, he is all pro, one of the best corners in the game, no doubt about it. Well, according to the all pro team, he is one of the best 2 corners in the game right now. The other corner that made the all pro team was Patrick Surtain II. Crazy thing is I played with his pops. Damn, I'm getting old, boy. But Derek Stingley Jr. is all pro. I believe that's well deserved. And it wouldn't shock me if he wasn't a guy that was either there or in that conversation year in, year out. I'll run down the all-pro list real quick just to update you. Offensively, Lamar Jackson is the quarterback. Running back, Saquon Barkley. Fullback, Patrick Ricard. Tight end, rookie, Brock Bowers with the Las Vegas Raiders. Wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Here's the offensive line starting at the left tackle. Tristan Wirfs out of Tampa Bay. Left guard, Joe Tooney out of Kansas City. Center, Creed Humphrey out of Kansas City. Right guard, Quinn Miners out of Denver. I remember when he got drafted. Boy, I butchered his last name. He was out of a small school. He's got dreadlocks.
Man, that's Miners?
Miners. He is a I butchered it on draft night, boy.
I can see it now.
I had Minerts.
Miners.
Yeah, it's wild now.
I just need M-I-N.
Right tackle, Penei Sewell out of Detroit is the right tackle. The defensive side of the football, edge rushers, Myles Garrett out of Cleveland, obviously. Trey Hendrickson out of Cincinnati. Interior offensive lineman, Cam Hayward out of Pittsburgh. How about that? The old man making one of the top two interior defensive linemen. Chris Jones out of Kansas City is your other interior lineman. Linebackers, Zach Bond out of Philadelphia. Fred Warner out of San Francisco. Roquan Smith out of Baltimore. The cornerbacks, as I said earlier, Patrick Surtain the second out of Denver. Derek Stingley Jr., hello, out of Houston. Slot corner, Marlon Humphrey out of Baltimore. Does Marlon Humphrey play that much slot corner to call him a slot corner, or is that just we're just getting
a
third corner?
I don't know, man. That's interesting. I wouldn't have put him as a slot corner.
Safeties, Kirby Joseph out of Detroit, Xavier McKinney out of Green Bay. There you have it. Now, Derek Stingley Jr. making that list, only Texan on the first team list. That's big time right there for that young fella, man. I think it's well-deserved with Derek Stingley Jr., and I think it's probably a place where he resides as long as he can stay healthy for a good bit of time. Maybe not on the team, but in that conversation of being on the all-pro team for sure year in, year out. I think he stays there, Ron.
All right. We were talking about must-haves. I saved another one. A conversation here because, look, a lot of people are talking about C.J. Stroud and Justin Herbert, these two quarterbacks, these could be the next ones. These two quarterbacks could go on a run and really take themselves up. That's not where this game is about. That's not at all where this game is about. We'll discuss that and where it really is coming up next.
Scary ass hoes.
It's a Football Friday playoff edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings on Park Row in Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here. A little Football Friday, folks. We're in Katy, Park Row location. Come on out and hang out with us. Congratulations to our latest winners who took home a $50 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors, as well as an autographed helmet from Christian Harris. Still got another $50 gift card to hook somebody else up with, as well as an autographed football from Nico Collins, Pro Bowler. We got an autographed football for Nico Collins. You can win that in the 5 o'clock hour. Tyler has just informed me, and I've gone and salted and synced it for myself. Dalton Schultz, 3 minutes ago, tweeted, Clint, built for this. Right there for you, baby.
Dalton?
He's got a video to go along with it. He's got a video to go along with this sucker. Built for this. Come on, Dalton. Dalton said y'all going to stop talking about me. Clint. Ron. They're going to stop talking about me. I'm built for this.
He's referring to the team.
No, it's not.
Look at the video. Nah, it's everybody. Man, it's nah, Joe. It's
he's
Joe.
A hard ass, bro.
He had him for him.
He
nah,
just,
man.
He just wanted to post that video because there's a nice profile shot of him in there with that beard after this catch right here. There's a nice little profile shot of
Dalton's
him.
Got that dog in him, man.
Nah, man. He got that. He said he built for this.
Yeah, y'all, right. y'all put y'all spoons up. I know what the hell y'all
I ain't
doing.
Putting no spoon up. I'm just telling you what he said. Go ahead, Dalton. Dalton, now he's ready to go. Had him a good week of practice.
Mm-hmm.
Built for this. Look at him. That's him slamming that ball down. Tell me just, this is him, damn it. This is videos of Dalton. I don't know what you're talking about. That was 4 or 5 highlights in a row about
Dalton. I guess
Dalton.
He just had a sack, huh? Like, is that him, Tank Dell?
Well, now, I mean, he slid. He thought he'd throw it up to some other guys, but that was Dalton. Who is this to? Dalton. Gonna hit him with a no-no. Shaking his finger. Come on now. Dalton said stop
yeah,
it.
I hope he's right.
Dalton's about to come
right.
over, and he's going to run over somebody today.
I hope he's right, Bob.
You don't think he built for this?
Hey, I mean, I don't think his game is made for Twitter.
Like, listen, obviously we're having some fun with Dalton.
He's referring to the team.
Okay. I felt like he was referring to himself. And
I mean,
then
it's his own Twitter, his personal Twitter, man.
It's his personal Twitter. Tyler, the way I took it from the video, he was referring to himself, and then he wanted to slide his teammates in there to not just be completely selfish. That's what I think he wanted to say was a team thing. But there's a lot of Dalton in there. I don't,
not a lot of dog, but a lot of Dalton.
A lot of Dalton. But listen, I know from the physical part, the run game part, like, yeah, man, he is who he is. And there was no confusion. I mean, maybe we didn't think it was going to be this rough coming from Dallas, but you knew, like, that wasn't a strong part of his game. Like, this wasn't George Kittle who they were bringing or the kid from last night. Like, for Penn State, he's winning and he's out.
John came in, won something, got the hell out of here.
Get the hell up out of here. Yep, but that's what John do. But from the passing game perspective, Clint, it has been a disappointment. Like, even from that, what you brought him in and what you thought his strengths were, how much of it is what's surrounding him? How much of it is him not being on the same page with the quarterback, the play caller? How much is out of his control?
0%.
What's the struggle? 0%? I think there's a little bit percent. I mean,
you're clearly higher on Dalton than I am.
Well, I'm not higher. I think there have been some times where he has been open and CJ's either missed him or let it look down.
There's been a couple of those. I mean, but there's not been one moment this year where there's been plays made or blocks made to where I was like, hey, man, I don't know if Cade Stover can do that. Hey, man, I don't know if Big Irv Smith
can do
that.
Well, definitely not blocks.
I mean, he ain't doing that. He, like, in the pass game, he don't separate. I mean, versus zone, like, you can say, well, he's done some good things in terms of settling in zones and taking a higher, angle on a route because the zone coverage is underneath. But, come on, man, when you're talking about a $12 million tight end, you're talking about a guy that goes out there and makes a difference every game and makes plays within a game, especially when you're an offense that has to throw the football as much as the Texans have to, makes plays within that game that show you why he's a $12 million tight end. I mean, there's been drops this year. The inability to separate from defenders is a problem. The lack of physicality in the run game or the pass protection game is a liability. It's been bad, the whole thing. I tried with Dalton of like, all right, you know, hey, this is a good sign in terms of throwing the football around the park and having a weapon that C.J. Stroud can depend on and can create some opportunities for C.J. Stroud. He ain't doing that. He ain't that. He's not. I hope he is Saturday because I firmly, since we're on the topic, I firmly believe, I said this a long time ago, and I still believe it, if you want to know when this offense is in a rhythm and when they're clicking and when CJ's playing the quarterback position low to high and seeing things well, Dalton Schultz needs to have 6 or 7 catches. That Dalton Schultz needs to have.
And you're saying, because I agree with you, I am excluding any of the physical portions of the game. I'm not saying that you should. I'm just, in this particular discussion, I'm excluding any of the physical part of the game. I'm just strictly talking about a passing game, which he's, you know, nearly 100 yards short from where he was last year and didn't get in the end zone as much as he did last year and don't have as many catches. And you just said it a little, because they're just, like you're saying, man, 5 to 8 yards away. Those right there, right now. And you're saying to you think it's more on Dalton in that part of it, the passing game, more on Dalton than the other things around him.
Yes, I think if Dalton, look, here's the deal. From I think there's situations where CJ has randomly missed Dalton Schultz. I don't think that's happened often enough to enter this conversation. I do think there's moments that Dalton Schultz is open multiple times and CJ's not throwing the ball. I think that is part of this conversation. I'll be honest with you. I think CJ Stroud has tried to go to Dalton Schultz multiple times. First in a read, and Dalton's inability to run a route, inability to separate and get open, has backfired on CJ Stroud multiple times. I think as a quarterback, you then have the tendency of, hey, where am I going? I'm going to Nico Collins anytime I can. Forget leaving him. And I think he's missed Dalton Schultz a few times. That's in part due to Dalton Schultz not handling his business. I don't know why, but he doesn't look like there's any kind of speed there, any kind of twitch there. The route running is average to below average. It's not been good. And I would imagine that CJ and Bobby see that. But I still, there's a lack of weapons, and there's bigger fish to fry here. Dalton Schultz needs to be made a priority in the pass game. And when he is, this offense clicks.
Yeah, he certainly hasn't. You know, when you commit to, what'd you say, $12 million, certainly hasn't gotten to that point. But I do, like, I think one of the plays that annoyed you the most at one time where CJ goes wheel route to Joe Mixon, and then there's Dalton right there. I wonder how much of the time have we seen situations like that? Or is it, as you just said, that man hasn't had the ability to separate from defenders that he should be separated from? All right, as we continue here, as I said, it was a lot of people are talking about the quarterbacks in this game. Want to talk about where the real spot is, real spot in terms of where this game will be decided. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Just keep your soft ass out of the conversation.
It's a Football Friday playoff edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings on Park Row in Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
We're trying to learn about this Houston defense. We haven't played them. We haven't really watched them on film at all this year. So not in our division, etc. So, you know, this is a defense that might be it's definitely the fastest defense we've played this year. Might be the best. They got great players. They're really well coached. They have a scheme they believe in that works for them. Their personnel fits their scheme, and their scheme fits their personnel. And it's really obvious they've got a lot of confidence in that. But we know the challenge. Guys are excited, feel offensively. You know, it's a one-game season at this point in the playoffs. It always is. But we're trying to continue to ascend. Continue to get better.
That right there is offensive coordinator Greg Roman of the LA Chargers as they come into town. And you hear him talking about the defense and the speed. And look, sometimes I think guys will blow smoke. I think it was Derwin James was talking about Dalton Schultz is somebody you got to really keep an eye on. I don't know about that. There's some stuff that Jim Harbaugh has said where it feels like it's a little over the top. Well, Greg Roman said, we've watched this defense. They do. They thrive with their speed. They play really, really fast. Now, Jalen Petrie's out, and that's a part of that and hurts them in that. But they do play really, really fast, and especially off the edges, Clint. And to me, when you look at this game, I know a lot of people are looking at Stroud Herbert. That's what you know, the quarterback matchups in this league, and Stroud Herbert. Hell, I'm looking at it too, right? I feel like coming into the year, these two guys were in a similar plane. I think many people thought they were on a similar level. I think maybe Herbert is maybe going past him a bit just when you look at this season. But I don't think this is what this is about. To me, I think both teams' strengths are their edge pass rushers. I think both teams' strengths, if you look at Bosa and Mack, I think that is the strongest thing. Also, Bud Dupree, the other guys they have there, I think that's the strongest thing that they do. I think the Texans' strongest thing that they do, Clint, as well, is their edge rushers. When you can, and really they can slide them all over the line. Like, you know, I think the Chargers do it as well. With obviously the front line guys, Danielle Hunter and and Will Anderson, which, by the way, a little bit surprised that neither one of those guys were first or second team All-Pro this year with their sack numbers. But they get those guys. And then you got Barnett, who has scored two touchdowns and have made impact plays, rushing a passer, and then Danico Autry, where you could do a lot with them. I think that's really where the game is to me. And I think it is a big – we were talking about halves earlier. I think it is a big have for the Texans. When we look at the front seven, especially those edge rushers, we look at the front seven, you bring in Azeez and you bring in Christian Harris, you bring in Henry Toa and Denzel Perryman for them and the other guys they have there. I think, Clint, the Texans' front seven has to be more effective in this game than the Chargers' front seven. I think that is a really big important thing because I think both of them are good. I think both of them usually impact the game when those teams' defenses play well. I think it is a big, big key that we are talking more Will Anderson, we're talking more Daniil Hunter, we're talking more Christian Harris, then we're talking Joey Bosa, and we're talking Khalil Mack and those guys in the front seven. To me, it's not really the quarterbacks as much in this game. Obviously, they impact it. But I think really that what this game will come down to is whose strength is better because their strengths are the same.
Yeah, look, I think it's the thing is you got one side of the football and the Texans, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, they're going against two really good tackles. They're going against a very established offensive-minded head coach and offensive coordinator that aren't going to let those defensive tackles and then defensive ends that you have just wear guys out and disrupt the entire offense. They're going to have answers. You better believe it. Greg Roman and Harbaugh, they're going to have answers if your guys are eating and getting home.
Yeah.
So, you know, I trust that and believe that. Now you flip it on the other side, you got two really good edge players with the Chargers, and they're going against Blake Fisher, a rookie, you know, and an offensive coordinator that I'm not real sure what in the hell his adjustments are going to be, you know, in terms of protecting the edges. I mean, hopefully he's not going to use Dalton Schultz and Cade Stover. We saw that worked against Minnesota. So, you know, I think there's the matchup in this game is our DNs versus their tackles. That's that's the good on good, mano a mano, look out. I mean, you can sell tickets to watch this kind of thing. The flip side is the Texans better have a game plan. The Texans better have a game plan to protect Blake Fisher. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, those two defensive ends, who can get home, who can disrupt more, who can create the more chaos, I would say that it's more likely that the Chargers guys are going to be able to do that than the Texans guys.
Yeah, we'll see. The Miami game was one in which Will and Danielle Hunter were just completely problems the entire game. And that's not the first time. We've seen that multiple times this year. They need to do that. They need to be problems in this game. Justin Herbert can move, but this isn't Lamar, right? I mean, this isn't like he just got an eject button where he could just completely run out. It's not even Josh, to be honest with you. So he can move a bit, but you should be able to affect him. All right, the Texans, they have their wild card game tomorrow, but there are some other ones. There's obviously other wild card games. The Texans start it, but then the rest of the weekend there are games on on Saturday after the Texans, multiple games on Sunday as well as Monday Night Football. What is intriguing you in the wild card game, Clint? What about these wild card matchups outside the Texans? Excuse me, is intriguing.
Yeah, I think the Steelers Ravens game in the AFC is I think what's the number on that game?
Nine and a half.
Yeah, look,
that just seems aggressive.
I understand why, but boy, when you start digging into it and you go Steelers, they prepared for the Ravens twice this year. It's an in division opponent. They're very familiar with them. Otherwise I wouldn't care to watch whatever matchup the Steelers had. Right, the Steelers, they just don't turn me on. But the fact that they're playing the Ravens, they beat them once this year. They've got so much history with them. This one turns me on in the AFC right here.
Nine and a half feels aggressive. Zay Flowers, they've already ruled out. You're right. They beat them close, and that game was really competitive. The last time they played, until Russell Wilson, when they had a chance to take the lead, is just running on a 25-yard gain and just gets drilled and fumbles the ball inside the 5-yard line. And then, you know, the Ravens just commence to whooping their ass the rest of the way on out. But no, it's going to be cold, windy, rainy. Like as I said, no Zay Flowers. 9.5, that feels teams and Mike Tomlin.
If you look at the matchup, again, it's Mike Tomlin, love or hate Russ Wilson. He's a Super Bowl caliber quarterback, or was, has that in his blood. I'm not saying he still is that, but he has that in his blood. And then you look at George Pickens. I mean, George Pickens will be the best receiver on the field. It just depends on whether he shows up or not, right?
That's the thing. He's such a wild card. You don't know what you're getting from.
And that's part of what makes this thing so sexy is that, if those guys show up, if Russ just plays like – you know, a 36-year-old Super Bowl caliber quarterback can still move around a little bit, and George Pickens shows up and plays like he's one of the best wide receivers in the game. You got Ravens going to have their hands full with no Zay Flowers, as you mentioned. So, yeah, I think that game right there, it may be a blowout, but that game intrigues me. The one of the NFC that intrigues me is the Packers and the Eagles, and it's strictly because of the injuries. Both quarterbacks had injuries, right? Jordan Love with the right elbow issue, and then obviously Jalen Hurts with the concussion. By the way, I think it's been announced he's cleared all of his concussion protocol, practice, yada, yada, yada. He's good to go. Jalen Hurts, that is. So you got, I think, what most folks would believe are two pretty comparable teams, although the record may not. I know the Eagles have won a few more games, I believe, but that has the makings of being a really, really good football game. So I think that one's a little more intriguing for me, the Packers-Eagles.
No, that game intrigues me because, Clint, I think a lot of people throughout the year have believed in their hearts that the Packers are Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah, absolutely.
They just don't beat any of the other teams that are Super Bowl contenders. That's it.
We can relate.
They've been swept by the Vikings. They've been swept by the Lions. And they lost to the Eagles already earlier this year. Those are the teams that are Super Bowl contenders. Is this the week when they finally do it? Is this the one where they finally do it? I don't think so, but you know the talent over there. They have. Like, I don't think the Eagles are, you know, scared of them or concerned of them. But, Clint, that's a heck of a draw for a 2-seed, right?
Right.
You're the second seed. That Jordan Love, the team that damn near went to the NFC Championship game last year, a team that is very well coached, that may have the better quarterback in the game, you got to face them, right? And, you know, so that is a tough draw. But I think the Eagles will take care of them in this thing. We talked about Buffalo yesterday. Again, a programming note. I don't know if we – really not a programming note, but a note for the wild card games. That Rams game, that game has been moved from L.A., and it will be played in Glendale in Arizona. So they will have to play there. Doesn't change my feelings. As I said, I like the Vikings in that game to win that thing there. So it should be a great weekend.
They're taking over 350 people, evacuating them to Arizona with a couple of dogs and a cat even.
Yeah, I saw Arizona sending two huge, huge jets down to go and bring people down. So, that was aggressive. The league, that game's on Monday. They made that decision on Thursday to move that, which kind of lets you know where they are in that thing. So, that should be a fun wild card weekend outside of that Texans game. Come up in the 5 o'clock hour. We will give you our predictions. We will give you our predictions. I mean, you know what I'm going to say. But we'll give you our predictions on how the game goes. But coming up a little 5 o'clock fire, shout out to Derek Stingley Jr., named to the All-Pro team. Any other snubs for the Texans? We'll get into that, give you the latest injury news, because there is one note into this game that the Texans release. Rockets got a huge win last night, and the Cotton Bowl. Texas looks to try to get to the national championship game and face Notre Dame. All of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.